Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 187. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Let it snow.
Jeff and Fozzie are out tonight. So we have brought on friend of the show, Peter Freeman.
What's up, guys? It's snowing by me too.
Yeah, we're the East Coast crew going tonight, and it is snowy.
It is bad out there.
If you looked outside or at your local supermarket, it's practically the apocalypse.
Oh, so I don't know why I did, but I went to the grocery store after work. My wife wanted me to get some stuff because she knew her and the kids were going to be home tomorrow. And it was like a goddamn war zone in there.
It really was. I went to Target.
Nothing on the shelves. Like, what is going on here?
This is why I went in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I probably would have made a whole lot
of stuff there. It was a lot quicker to go through. There were no lines.
I mean, I got stuff, like, none of it good for you, but... I probably looked like the quintessential fat person, like, just rolling up with his buckets of ice cream and frozen food and...
Right. Like, we need some milk, there's nothing left but chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know...
Baby's having that.
Better than buying whole milk. They make it like 1% or something, right?
Oh, chocolate milk? I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends on the chocolate milk.
I like to just think that it's healthy. Maybe that's just what I've been doing.
I just like chocolate milk's the only milk I will actually drink, so.
Like that Nesquik stuff is like death in a bottle.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it's milk.
Like, look, it's 2,000% of your daily saturated fat. Great.
It's like, this is tasty. Like, it actually is tasty. But
I want another. Oh, they're delicious.
You're dying. Like, you pull off 5 years of your life drinking it. Yeah, so we're in the midst of the snowpocalypse, which will be over by the time this goes up, but I guess we should talk some games. That's what we do here.
Snowpocalypse plus gaming drought.
And yeah. Evidently this storm is called PAX.
I know, PAX. I thought there was some grand irony to that.
PAX East.
Yeah. I wanted to make a joke at work, but they would not have gotten it. They already think I'm a little off kilter anyway, so.
Well, you are, but this would have come.
Right, it's just like, what is he talking about? You'll play games at PAX this weekend. Alright. What do you guys went up to?
Dota.
Dota, okay. Tell us about Dota, because I don't think any of us have actually ever played it.
Oh. Yet. Oh. Have you guys, like, play League of Legends?
No.
No?
Oh, all right. Well,
but, like, these are, like,
those are, like, the two most popular games in the world.
Yeah. We don't play
like, 67 million people play League of Legends every month, and we're not any of them.
I've managed to find the two people on the planet who have not touched it.
And if Fozzie and Jeff were here, you would have found two more. We're it. Nobody else, like, everybody else plays it except us. And we run a gaming podcast.
Okay. Apparently not very well.
Explain Dota to us.
I mean, it's a MOBA. I don't remember what that stands for. Something about Action Arena.
Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I know that.
It's 5-on-5. Everyone picks their own unique character with their own unique abilities, and then they fight each other in a single map that's sort of evenly divided in half, and the goal is to barrel your way to one side of the map and take out the opponent's ancient or their main tower, whatever you want to call it, and that's how you win the game. So, it's fun. It's not... I don't know if you guys have heard like the rumors that like the Dota community and the League community are super like, vitriolic and hateful and all that stuff, but
I've kind of heard that about the League of Legends community. I heard Dota's a little more forgiving, but you have to know people, kind of.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what Valve has put in there has helped with, like, the coaching system and things like that, and it's definitely, I think, a game you need to know someone in order to personally teach you how to play, whether, right. you know, like, over. I mean, that's how I learned. I originally started playing League because my cousin taught me, but that was like 2 years ago, and then I started playing Dota when Brian Albert hooked me up with his team and basically re-taught me how to play Dota again, and then I taught my friend, and now my friend and I, we play like every night. But otherwise, I don't think he would have ever learned to play Dota on his own.
I think that's why we don't play these games, Chris. Oh. You play them every night. It's like a game you play, and that's what you play.
Right, and it's... I think just the way we consume games just doesn't allow for that, really, right? Like
we have that gamer ADD. We have to play a little everything.
Yeah.
I want to have that, but I don't have enough money to have that. So it's Dota right now. I mean, granted, if I look at my Steam library, there's 150 games sitting in it, but... You know, a lot of them are Humble Bundle, like,
right,
side
right.
deals for the one game I really only wanted to pay $7 for.
Or the Steam sale, you were like, hey, that game sounds cool, and it's $3, so...
Exactly, like, how could I not buy it for just $3?
Right. Even though you know you'll probably never play.
That's how I want it with Company Heroes and things like Red Orchestra.
I think... Tony would say you should play Company of Heroes.
I want to, and I tried playing through the tutorial, and I like real-time strategy games. I liked StarCraft a lot. I played Battlefield Earth and 1 and 2 back when that was a thing, mm-hmm. and yeah, there's something about this one didn't pull me in.
Hmm.
But yeah, nah, I mean, besides Dota, it's been Civilization... Because I got my girlfriend hooked on that, so now...
Civ 5?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good choice.
Yeah. Well, it runs on Max, which is what she has, so... It's nice. I actually, for the first time, had to figure out how to do the Steam family sharing thing. Because that's how she played it before the bundle went up. And that is the most unintuitive process I've ever seen Valve put together.
I've never done that. How does that work?
So... I think I actually got it to work by accident. I'm not entirely sure I knew what I was doing, but the you're supposed to, you know, install Steam on the computer, then you log in and friend the person you want to give access to. Then you have to go to the other person's profile on the same computer. There's a lot of logging in and logging out in this process. And then on that computer, you have to request access to the other person's library or set games. I think it's just the whole library. And then log back in as the main account, grant the access, log back in as the other person who wanted access, and then install those games.
I've already killed myself.
Yeah, exactly. I went through the Valve page. I had to look up, like, I had to Google it, and I... Again, I think I just managed to make it work on accident. So
that's always a good sign.
I'm surprised for, you know, a company that usually makes things so easy, this is the most unintuitive, frustrating thing. I spent 45 minutes doing this.
I think I would have quit. Especially, like, I mean, this week's Humble Bundle is a... It's the Sid Meier collection. You can get Civ 5 and its expansions for like $15.
Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Go ahead and do that.
This process, yeah. This whole family sharing thing was like 2 weeks ago, and then last week or whenever that rolled around, I was like, motherfucker, like,
just have your
there
own
it
copy.
Is. And I bought a copy for myself, because even though I own Civ 5, it was cheaper to buy that bundle than it was to upgrade to the Gold Edition,
yeah.
which doesn't include Brave New World, I think. Or something like that. So for $30, I bought 2 copies of that thing and figured all that, you know, that was... if only that had been a week sooner. But.
that doesn't... I'm hoping that maybe the Steam OS stuff and the streaming stuff that they're doing is a little more intuitive than the sharing stuff, because that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I don't know if I had missed something, but there's no easy way to, like, go on your friends list and go to their profile and just be like, request access to library. Like, that would make things so much easier.
Right.
And then if it was like an Apple thing where it's like, okay, you have 5 of 5 profiles, authorized to have access to your games, then it would be so much simpler than this whole logging on and logging off process. And
right. Yeah, it seems a little convoluted. So how's your girlfriend liking Civ 5?
She loves it. As someone, she really enjoyed Age of Empires and Age of Mythology and things like that. And I was like, all right, you like management games. And she's not big on the whole, like, real fast-paced thing. So I was like, this is turn-based. You take as long as you want, do as much as you want. This is perfect. And she hates me because now she's not getting any homework done while she's at college.
It's worth it.
It is. It is. And it's great because now we can play it together and stuff, too. So that's always fun. But, yeah. She's really enjoying it.
Cool. Tony, what have you been up to?
What have I been doing? I feel like I've been playing like the same games forever. Europa Universalis is 4.
What is that?
It's a grand strategy game. So basically, you pick a nation, and you control it through like several centuries worth of time.
Okay.
I think the earliest start date is like 1453, and it moves on and it goes all the way through Napoleon. So I think the game ends in 1820. So you pick whatever country you want, you manage the country's affairs, you fight wars, and you basically like guide it through the years.
Okay.
And see if you can expand or whatever. The reason I've been playing it a lot lately is because I've been playing the new expansion, which is Conquest of Paradise, which randomizes the Western Hemisphere. So I started as Spain. Normally when you play a game like this, you would go and you'd explore, except you already know where everything was. Like, you know where the Bahamas are, you know where Florida is, you know where Mexico is. You go and explore and find all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This completely randomizes everything about the Western Hemisphere, where the continents are, like, what they look like. It moves, like, all, like, the Aztecs and the Maya and the Iroquois and all that stuff gets all mixed up. So you have no idea what you're gonna run into when you start sailing across the sea. So, for example, I'd sail past the island of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that. You know,
okay.
You land on the coast of Ohio. You start exploring the interior of the continent and discover landlocked Panama, all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you start playing that game and hours and hours and hours go by. It's much like Civ. It's one of those time suck games.
Just one more turn syndrome.
Right. Except this one is real time. So you're watching like the days tick by. And you're like, okay, I'm going to play until my colony upgrades. And then your colony upgrades. And you're like, well, I'm really close to that technology. And you just keep going and going and going. And
suddenly it's 5 in the morning. You have work.
Right, you're like, oh, what happened? Best I could go take a shower now. The series has been out for a really long time. This is the 4th one. I think the first one came out in like 2001. But they released Crusader Kings 2 a couple of years ago, the same company, which had like a new map design that made it a lot more eye candy, a lot more player friendly. So they got the game itself has gained a lot of popularity, a lot of traction over the last couple of years, kind of pulling it out of the niche and getting a little more mainstream. It's one of those things like Firaxis has known for a long time when they're making the Civ games. That the fact that they're pretty and you're staring at them for hours and hours really helps to attract players.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be like a test of nerddom or whatever, playing a strategy game because they were all but ugly. And they were fun, but you had to look at this ugly screen that looked like a spreadsheet or whatever for like, you know, 20 hours, and not that many people are willing to do that. So EU4, very pretty. They've upgraded the music. The music is wonderful, that kind of thing. So they work on the aesthetically pleasing parts now, so it makes it a lot more palatable for sitting down and playing.
That's cool.
So I've been playing a lot of that. Been playing a lot of NBA 2K14, which is like the one next gen console game I have that I can always play. unlike Battlefield 4, which, you know, sometimes you can play and it's great, and sometimes you play and it's not so good.
Right. Mm. We actually had a good
session. We had a great session last night, right? It went really well. I didn't have any crashes. Everybody's name was where it was supposed to be.
Oh, that's cool.
Nobody took down
the tower? Or can you choose not to do that anymore? That's all I keep hearing is once that tower goes, so does the server.
Which map is that?
Is it the city? Or
Shanghai? I don't know. I don't know if we've ever actually seen the tower come down. It's weird.
Maybe everyone just knows to not do it if they want to keep
it. For all the talk of Levolution, I feel like I've never actually seen any of it. Like, I've seen the results of it, but I've never actually, like, seen this stuff happen.
Right. Like, I mean, we were playing last night, and the building that we were in, Fozzie was on the, like, this walkway. Just, like, the left building just went down, and the walkway collapsed with it, and Fozzie was in it when it went down. But, that's something that we saw in, like, Bad Company 2, so...
Right. I'm glad they brought that kind of stuff back.
Yeah, it's totally... It adds an element of like randomness that you're not expecting. Which is really, really a lot of fun. Like, you just hear Fozzie squealing like a girl and the building's going down. So it's really kind of fun. It was nice that it worked out. So it's like seems like every other week we get a good session.
Yeah, it was really fun except for that one map which utterly sucks. What is that map called?
I believe it is Operation Locker.
Oh, underground. There aren't that many. Like the first time I played it, I was like, wow, there are tunnels everywhere, but there aren't that many.
No, it's all like a big pathway that lead. It's very much a big tunnel that leads directly into one spot.
So everyone knows where to camp and wait for people to just.
Well, that's what it was.
Everyone is like stuffed into like these little tight corridors, and it's just they got 64 players. So you got like 20 guys like bouncing all around outside this one entrance.
Yeah, I got so many points from that map, but it was not fun. It was just like I would stand behind as like the. The two teams just kind of went at it, tossing grenades at each other and firing in the corner. And so, like, you drop a health pack, and it just sucks up points. Like, points just appear all over the place.
There was a point at which I just got sick. Like, it's basically an infantry-only map, but I switched to engineer just so I could start, like, firing rockets down the tunnel because there was nothing else to do.
Right. Because you couldn't make a push forward. Right. And I mean, that wasn't so much the fault of the map. That was a lot of the fault of our own team, because if we went outside, their team had actually set up camp so you couldn't go around the edge. Like, so you needed a squad to go and attack them because they had four or five guys standing outside, so you couldn't kind of go around to get to D and E. Which meant that, you know, we were stuck with A and B and then fighting over C, which wasn't a whole lot of fun.
I wish that map did not exist. Or if it did, it would only be limited to 32 players. I think that would help.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely
sort of
unclog
the pipes a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly a map that would have worked great on Xbox 360 or PS3. But we just happened to be playing on a console that lets 64 players play. Didn't work very well.
So speaking of Battlefield, like I hit level 10 over the weekend with the double XP event, so I decided to try out Commander mode, which was they kind of made a big deal of it. EA did, like you could play on your tablet and gain points and.
Oh, that okay.
And you can totally, you know, gain experience, like, a lot, too. I think I gained, like, 6,000 playing the one time. It's the most boring damn thing ever, though. Because you're just looking at, basically, if you're playing Battlefield on your console or whatever, you have the little mini-map in the corner. So, this is just the mini-map, like, exploded out. Kind of like when you're looking to choose a spawn point. It's that. And you can then, like, place UAVs to, you know, reveal enemy locations, or you can scan for infantry across the whole map, or scan for vehicles. And then over time, you'll get access to, like, the gunship, which we saw appear in the one map we were playing last night, where we were on top of a building. We just started getting shot, and no one was around, and it was flashing on the bottom of our screen, gunship up above, which meant that they had a commander, and we didn't. But it's so boring, because there's nothing going on. You have this commentary from the, you know, the tablet, but you're just looking at little triangles and little pictures, like little orange pictures of vehicles and stuff, and it's atrocious. It's just like, I don't understand why this is fun for anybody.
Somebody's got to like it, though.
Maybe.
Like that kind of thing.
I mean, I wish I could play it on my phone, because like when I get stuck waiting for something at work, I could pop it open and gain points that way.
Is it just a tablet thing?
Yeah, it's just on a tablet. It's just on tablets, so.
Bummer.
Yeah, it would be great if I could play it on my phone. And you have to devote a good amount of time to the core game even to access it, because you need to be level 10, and leveling in this game takes a little bit. Like, it's not like Call of Duty where you hop on for an hour and you've leveled twice. Like, Battlefield,
it's a grind.
Yeah, you really need to grind out those levels, and it takes a while. So, to even access it, you have to kind of be devoted to the game. It's like, then I got it, and I was like, wow, this is special, that's for sure. You play anything else, though, Tony?
Let's see. Not really. I'm getting pumped. Hegemony Rome launched today, but I don't have it yet.
Mm.
I think I might download it, you know, in preparation for the apocalypse.
There you go.
That sounds like a plan.
Something to do. I mean, outside of the shooters I've been playing, I tried Loadout, which is a new free-to-play shooter.
I just actually downloaded that. I was curious to check it out. Is it any good, or should I uninstall it?
It's fun.
That's
a ringing endorsement. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, there's three character models you could choose. You can customize your character. One guy looks like Rambo, like a really cartoony Rambo. And there's like another dude, and there's this really like obese woman that you can play as.
Mm.
And like the characters aren't really anything special. They're cartoony, kind of Team Fortress-y too. And then the game modes are pretty standard fare. There's like a team deathmatch. There's like a domination type point where you're capturing points, and capture the flag type mode, or the King of the Hill type mode as well. But it's, what's kind of cool about it is you create your own weapons.
Hmm.
So, you go in, you say, I want to use a rifle class. And then with your rifle class, you have a certain amount of, different attachments and stuff you can put on. And the attachments get more and more crazy. So you can like add like a Tesla ring to it, so it shoots out lightning.
Hmm.
Or, I think there's like a poison one, or, so, like, when you hit it, it slowly degenerates the other team members. Or a health one where your bullets hurt the enemies, but any of your teammates around, like, you'll heal them.
Oh, okay.
And different types of gun barrels. So you could have one where it's, you know, where you're shooting, you know, very straight, very, like a normal assault rifle, or you can kind of have it the barrel kind of like blow out like a blunderbuss, so you're just kind of like but that also that lowers your range on it, so you kind of have to play with the different kind of how your play style is and figure out how to go with that, and that's kind of cool. And when you get hit, there's blood and gore everywhere.
Like, yeah.
And it's like that, like, really ridiculous cartoony blood. So it's like you're half injured, and this is how you know you're injured. It's not like the screen goes red and you can't see. There's just like holes in you. Your guy's arm is like you're running around and like you can see the bones and blood is just kind of like flowing behind you, and so it's like goofy, funny in that way. I don't know. It's all right. It's like all this. None of the weapon stuff is locked behind a paywall or anything. So you get
what is the paywall for then? Is it just cosmetic?
It's all just cosmetic stuff, and like it's pretty detailed. Also, some of it's pretty disgusting, but you can buy some stuff for the woman, and
I imagine
it's really gross. like there you can like buy pasties for her, where that's so she's like really just running around topless at that point, and it's like this is kind of foul. In a way that I don't think they meant it to be. Like, it's just meant to be goofy funny, but it's like, this comes off as really gross.
That sounds pretty awful.
Yeah, but as far as gameplay-wise, it's actually pretty fun, and it seems like most people play as, like, the Rambo guy, which is a shame, because there's only 3 character models, so you're basically playing...
You see millions of the same guy running around.
You're playing, like, 4-on-4 or 8-on-8, whatever it turns out to be, and... like there's like 9 of them on screen. this is weird, but I think the game's actually kind of fun. I'm gonna play a little bit more of it, maybe write up a review for the site, so we'll see. The only other thing I've really been playing is Bravely Default.
How's that?
Do you like old school Final Fantasies?
How old school are we talking?
Like Super Nintendo era? Final Fantasy V-ish?
I can't say. Too sure.
The
art didn't grab me, so...
I've heard the art for Bravely Default.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard people say that. Our friend Chris, who used to do the RetroCore podcast, he said he didn't like the art either. That just kind of turned him off. Like he actually liked the mechanics of the game, but... like, you're going to play a game for 45, 50 hours. You need to kind of like what you're looking at.
Same with the strategy game.
Yeah.
Like, like, people are like, oh, you're being shallow to them. And it's like, no, that's a really legitimate complaint. Like, the game might be fantastic, but if you don't like what you're looking at and you're going to play it for that long, like that's a hard thing to, you know, pass over.
Yeah, for me it's just art style. The chibi stuff doesn't really grab me in any significant way.
At first I was like, this is like the art style is a little weird, but I really kind of came to enjoy it. The towns are all hand painted, and they kind of, if you let the 3DS sit for a little bit, it'll actually pass out and it'll pull out to a perspective where you can see the whole city.
Oh, cool.
And but then when you pull in, it's all very, like, you could definitely see that that's hand-painted. The character models against that come across very PlayStation-era Final Fantasy-ish, where it's like, this doesn't quite belong. I think I said this last week. I had played the demo at that point. The combat system's pretty cool, where you have brave attacks and default. When you default, you're basically going into defend mode, but you store a battle point. And each round, you need at least one battle point to perform an action. You can stock up to 3 of them, you can actually borrow against the 0 battle point, so that you can actually do 4 attacks at once, or 4 different things. So you can, like, your white mage could, you know, cure poison on one of your characters, heal all the characters, cast an arrow spell on the enemies, and then maybe if one of your other enemies is one of your other teammates is going down, get a phoenix down and throw that up to them, and you can just program all that in and they'll do that on their next round. Same with the attacks, where you can just kind of string together attack after attack after attack if you've defaulted enough. And the main game has this thing called has this thing called sleep points, where if you leave your DS in sleep mode, it, for every 8 hours the DS is in sleep mode, it stores sleep points. And I basically learned to use these against bosses, but you can store up to 3 sleep points, which gives you a free attack on the enemy at any time.
Cool.
So you press the start button, and you can use up to 4 of them, just like battle points. And so that could come in real handy, like you're kind of like going neck and neck with a boss, and this is kind of like that ace you just throw out on the table, like, I got you. it's just an interesting way of doing, you know, the same old kind of turn-based combat, but just with a new twist. And all the jobs that they have, I think there's like 24 of them in the game. So there's 24 different classes you can play, and you want to, you know, find the right combo for your characters. And each of them level up independently, just like every other Final Fantasy game that has a job system. Yeah, it definitely feels very old school Final Fantasy-ish in that regard. And I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a lot of fun. And playing on the 3DS, over the years I've kind of moved away from this kind of grindy JRPG. I just don't have the time to sit down and play, you know, 60, 70 hours for one game. Like, I lose interest fast enough that where it's like, where the next big thing has come out. I'm not a kid anymore where it's like, I have, you know, $90, I can buy Final Fantasy II, and that's going to be my game for the next 6 months until my birthday or whatever. I have disposable income, and I have an attention span of a gnat, so this allows me, I have it on my 3DS, and I can just pop it open, and grind a few levels out, and shut it down, and just move on. I don't need to sit in front of my television for hours on end grinding levels. Like, playing on the handheld works a whole lot better for that type of game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I've been up to, though. We got any news, Tony?
Sure we do. Let's start off with Titanfall Beta. I know you're excited.
I am a little bit.
Beta sign-ups are open. Apparently the beta itself opens on Valentine's Day.
Did you guys sign up?
I did. I signed up like the moment I saw the thing.
I don't have an Xbox One, so no.
It's the PC beta, too.
I thought they said it was just Xbox One for now.
No. Go to the beta page. It's titanfall.com/beta. And you could choose either Xbox One or PC.
Oh.
And sign-ups are through today or tomorrow?
Sure, why not? Origin.
Yes.
It'll be over by the time...
By the time you hear this podcast, you're
screwed.
It's over,
yeah.
So...
But Peter can get on right now.
A sign-up. Oh, I thought you meant the whole beta. I was like, well...
No.
God.
They're going to roll out invitations from now until the 17th of February. So.
Right. So if you haven't heard anything on the 17th, sorry.
You're not in.
You have to wait.
I'm trying to remember my stuff.
Try not to cry too much.
So
I don't think I'll be too heartbroken if I don't get in.
Yeah, I won't be that either. I have other stuff I should probably play before I get into Titanfall.
Yeah, and... This is one of the things I kind of had with the alpha. It was like, how much time do I really want to spend putting into this when the game's going to come out? And
you're going to lose all your upgrades.
All your progress is going to wipe, so.
Yeah, and that's something I would probably play a couple rounds to see if I liked it or not, and then be like, all right, let's not get too far in.
Right.
I screw myself into not wanting to play it anymore.
Lest I watch everything get wiped and have the saddest day ever.
Just what I did with the alpha, like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to play like a little bit, and I ended up playing 6 hours of it. So it's like, I really ended up liking it. I think I can finally talk about it because it's out there,
right?
I think that might be like the next evolution in shooters.
Thank God.
But why?
So, I mean, it plays, like, if you look at the videos, it looks very Call of Duty-ish, probably.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Except the giant robots.
Yeah, the giant robots come down, which adds a different dynamic. But being able to run along walls and, you know, double jump, it adds a verticality to the gameplay that Call of Duty just doesn't have. And being able to do it that fast, it does it in a way that Battlefield doesn't do either. The maps themselves are smaller than, like, you know, Battlefield 4 maps, but they're way bigger than Call of Duty map. And the added, the little popcorn enemies, as I think they're called, which is just the AI enemies, they give you something to shoot at all times. I mean, it also gives you the added benefit of, if you suck,
you have something easy to kill.
Right, like the low grade. So you play as a pilot. And there are six pilots per side. And then once the Titan, so you launch with like just standard Marines. There are AI Marines that launch with you into the mission, and your five other pilot teammates. The other team, same thing. They have six pilots and, you know, a bunch of AI Marines. Once the Titans start dropping a little bit more powerful AI drops called the Spectre, and they can actually take out a Titan. They're not particularly hard to defeat either, but they give you a little more of a challenge. But being able, like, you at all times, much like in Battlefield, where you're always getting kind of shot at and things can be attacking you from all angles, that can happen here, but when it's an AI guy shooting you, you actually have that chance to kind of get back and fight because pilots are a little bit stronger than everybody else. And the things you can do with the Titan, where you can set it into a... So you call a Titan down, it drops. You can hop into it and certainly play it like a mech game. Or you can set it up to defend you. It can be a stationary defense, where you're going into a building to capture a control point or clear it out of enemies, and it's actually covering you from the outside. Or you can set it up to be mobile defense, where it actually follows you. And that works as a decoy, because the Titan is moving, and people see the Titan, like human people will see the Titan, and that's what they're going to focus on shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So you can then use that as a tactic to get around and kill them while they're focusing on your Titan. And Titans aren't super easy to bring down, but...
As another Titan or as a pilot?
As either one. Like, I mean, like, when you are fighting Titan versus Titan, like, it's not like in Call of Duty where, you know, you get the drop on somebody, you shoot them, they're down. You shoot a Titan, like, that person is going to have time to react and fight back, which means that these mech battles actually are pretty epic, where it's not just, ha, I got you, you're dead. Like, you're going into a battle against another Titan, you better be ready to actually fight them, because each Titan has different defenses and different offenses, obviously, they can use. One of the ones I think they've showcased a couple times is there's this shield that Titan can bring up, and it sucks in all the bullets, and then when you let it go, it repulses them back, shoots them back at the enemy that shot them. So if you're, like, unloading and they have this up and you continue to unload, you're just going to get hit with everything you shot at them, which can make it really hard for you because then they're going to unload on you. And
that's going to be kind of painful.
Yeah. Now, what I did notice when I was playing, that two Titans against another Titan, you're pretty much fucked.
Okay. Like, so if you get ganged, you may as well just throw in the towel.
Well, it's better to, like, get out of there. Kind of like get out of your Titan, throw it into kind of auto defense mode where it'll kind of fight back, but it allows you to get away from your Titan, and then every pilot also comes equipped with anti-Titan weaponry,
mm-hmm.
where you as a pilot can take out down a Titan by yourself. It's going to take you a little bit, and you're going to be wanting to bounce from cover to cover, but you can do it. So everybody's kind of on an even playing field, and it adds a bunch of dynamics that just aren't there in modern shooters right now. It's a lot of fun.
I want in. Let me in.
Yeah. I kind of want to see what
there's a bunch of modes, right?
Yeah, the beta is going to showcase three modes. Attrition, which is their team deathmatch mode. It's not really team deathmatch. It's more like you go on and there's an amount of tickets that each team has, and once you get the other team to zero, they have to pull out. And that's another thing, too. So once the battle's over, there's an evac phase for the losing team. If they didn't complete their objective, they lost the map or whatever. Once the other team's kind of been declared the winner, the match doesn't just automatically end. The losing team calls in for an evac, which will show up at some point on the map, and it's for that team to kind of get to that evac point. And if they get on, they're going to get extra bonus points and for them, for their own personal experience. But as the winning team, you kind of want to eliminate them, because then you get extra bonus points for taking all of them out before they were able to escape. It's kind of adds this extra bonus feature to it. It's not like, alright, like, team got the 75 kills, game over, good job. Like, there's actually kind of like each battle kind of tells a story.
That's cool.
In a sense, where it's like, this is the start, you're going in, you're gonna, you know, we're going in, you need to eliminate the enemy forces in the area. And then, if you lost that, then it's like, you need to get the hell out of there. Like, it's not just paintball anymore. It's this actual big battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of concerned about how they're going to put the story into that game.
They're still going to try for that?
Is there supposed to be some sort of narrative multiplayer aspect to it? So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But anyway, attrition is the team deathmatch. Hardpoint domination is basically like a domination type thing where you're capturing different control points on the map. And then the new one that I didn't get a chance to play is called one Titan, like Final Titan or something like that, where it's everyone drops in a Titan at the start. So you don't start with your Titan, you have to actually wait on a timer. And killing enemies while you're playing will speed up that timer.
Okay.
So if you're better, you're going to get your Titan earlier. But everybody gets a Titan no matter what. Like, you'll be able to call your Titan in even if you suck and didn't get any points for 3 minutes. You will be able to play in the cool match. But in this new mode, evidently everybody starts in a Titan, and it's just kind of like a Titan death match where you're trying to eliminate the other team's Titans, and once your Titan's out, you're out. You're done for that round. So I kind of want to give that a shot. But yeah, I'm excited for Titanfall.
Oh, it sounds so good. I want something different. Like, I want the same thing, but different. And this is what that is.
it really is, though. I mean, it's still a shooter, and it's very much founded on like the Call of Duty foundation that they did with Modern Warfare 1 and 2, but it just does a bunch of new things that have not been seen before, and still has that carrot on the stick too, where what I thought Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 did really well with their multiplayer was all the challenges and the way you leveled up, and there was always something going on, and Titanfall has that. It's like you're always getting something for playing the game. Which unfortunately, subsequent Call of Duty's have kind of gotten away from. Like, it's just not Ghost. Those challenges are not there in the way they were in past games. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about Titanfall because I just want to play it.
Let's talk about Flappy Bird then.
What? No, God, we're so...
I'm glad you're so excited.
So much about that goddamn game.
Well, I haven't played any Flappy Bird, but
I played maybe 30 seconds of it on a kid's iPad at work.
So Flappy Bird, amazingly popular game, sold millions of copies in several days. Also generated a lot of controversy because apparently it cribs a lot of the artwork and design from Mario.
I've only seen screenshots of it and seen like a girl play it over her shoulder. But the pipes are very,
right.
Very
the pipes,
similar.
The birds look like the
cheap peeps. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so a little bit of controversy there. But that aside, apparently the creator of the game, whose name is Dong Yen, decided that the game was too addictive, and had it removed from iTunes and Google Play, so you can't buy it anymore. So this game comes out, makes millions of dollars, and then disappears instantly.
Sounds like some sort of weird Madoff scheme. Just cashing out and running with the money.
Apparently. Like running before they could sue him. But he claims it was because he thought it was too addictive, that wasn't what he wanted. It was a huge problem, and to solve the problem, he thought it best to just take the game away.
So he was doing it for the good of the people?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've read a lot of stuff theorizes that he gamed the system, and that's why this game appeared out of nowhere and suddenly decided to appear at the top of the App Store and things like that, and he was probably afraid of getting caught.
That's possible.
Did you guys hear anything about, like, phones selling on eBay?
Oh, God,
yep.
Yes.
eBay's canceled a few of them, I've heard.
Yeah.
That just seems absurd. Like,
just stupidity. How much did this game cost? Like, $1?
Yes.
And
was it free?
For like,
I think it was free.
Was it free?
Because it's ad-supported, right?
Oh, God.
Yes, I don't get it. Like, what's the appeal of... This isn't a game that, like, 15 years from now, we're going to be like, man, that Flappy Bird controversy, that was awesome. It's, dude, I got it on this phone that I bought from eBay. Like, no, that's not going to happen. People are stupid.
I feel like somebody just wants it as, like, some weird collector's edition. Or something, like
I need to have every game ever, and...
No, but, like, now you can claim you have a rare game that was,
right.
Like, big for, like, 10 minutes or something. I don't know. People are acting like this is that Nintendo World Championship thing,
right,
every time,
like,
you know, like, a cartridge appears.
That's exactly what they're acting like, and I'm like, but at least, like, the Nintendo World Championship cartridge, like, one, there's a limited amount of them, and there's a story behind it that, like, actually makes sense, and it wasn't something that was kind of given to free to everybody, so...
Yeah.
I'm confused by this.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a digital file, like
exactly.
At least the Nintendo World Championships cartridge was... It was a cartridge, like, you put that into a Nintendo Entertainment System, like...
As a physical item.
Right.
With physical value.
Like, you're buying, basically, like, a program when you buy this thing with the phone. Like, I'll buy your phone for $400.
Yeah, I'm sure also what has to do is, like, root their phone and pull the app off, and it'll be on Pirate Bay within, like, you know, probably already is.
Yeah, it's probably already there. Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird. Well... Chris will enjoy this. The country from Papers, Please.
Mm-hmm. Arkstokia.
Yes, has been made available in Civ 5.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a mod as a playable country.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It has its own customized border guard unit. And also the border checkpoint building.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So like you could get that off the off like a what is the Steam app
Steam
thing?
Workshop. Yeah, Steam Workshop. Yeah.
I actually have mine set to auto download every new mod for Civ 5.
Oh my
so
god.
I could, like, oh. There aren't that really that many, honestly.
Might have to look that one up.
I'm just afraid of ones like conflicting with each other or something.
The one thing I will say to you, Chris, is you have to have Brave New World in order for it to.
So what you're saying is I should buy that Humble Bundle and.
You should. Well, I mean, if you like Civ 5, then you should definitely get Brave New World because it's awesome.
That's the World Congress one, right? I can forget.
Yes. Yes. As the World Congress adds the trading elements.
Oh, right. Okay.
Reinvigorates religion, like it does a whole bunch of stuff that make the game a lot better in non-military conquest type ways.
That's really the only way you should play Civ 5, though.
Oh, that's completely false.
I mean, I've done each of the victories and stuff, but I don't have as much fun as when I am just pounding civilizations into the earth and forcing and like just extorting resources out of them because they're so desperate to stay in the game.
Well, I think that's one of the issues was that was the only satisfying way to play Civ 5 before Brave New World. Like, it actually makes the other ways of playing more interesting.
Did they do anything with the science victory, or is it still just get to space?
Oh, it's still just get to space, yeah, but.
Well, I know with the cultural victory, they added, like, the tourism and stuff now. And
right.
I'm surprised there's still no religion victory condition.
Well, the only thing is, religion exists, like, outside of the actual civilizations themselves, right? Like, any
yes.
city from any religion, any city from any country can be of any religion.
Yes. I've yet to see the purpose, then, of converting and stuff. Like, I know with faith you can buy certain units, but what else is there to it? And you get the bonuses from, like, I guess the belief bonuses, right?
It really depends on what bonuses you pick for your religion. Because some of them will give you certain bonuses if you hold the capital and have a certain number of cities, yada, yada, yada. Like, you really have to pick those well, I think, for it to work in that way.
Alright, I'll have to try it.
But yeah, if you like Civ 5, I mean, Brave New World is awesome.
Yes, no, I would agree, yeah.
Alright, the only other thing I had was the most tone-deaf commentary I have ever heard from a... Well, probably not the most, but amazingly tone-deaf commentary from EA's Chief Creative Officer at the DICE Summit. They were having the award show. Reporter from Rock Paper Shotgun asked him a couple questions.
Oh, Jesus, this was bad.
So the question was, SimCity and Battlefield 4 both had terrible launches. SimCity didn't work for more than a month, and Battlefield 4 still has issues. Surely you're overhauling how you approach launches internally from now on. And the guy's response is, I don't accept your premise. Battlefield 4 had an exceedingly successful product on both consoles and PC from a sales perspective, from a gameplay perspective.
Well, he's half right.
He's not even half right.
I mean, it sold well, didn't it?
It didn't meet EA's projections. Like, they lost money in the quarter that they launched Battlefield 4.
Okay, well, in that case, Jesus
so
Christ.
So, basically, he's taken the whole denying the premise of the question thing, which is really common when you're talking to reporters, and completely, like it's fine to deny the premise of a question, but you can't say something that is completely and utterly false. You're going to look like a moron, which is what he's achieved.
Yeah.
he was at least half right where that game's gameplay is pretty good.
When it works.
It works. Yeah.
Right. But that's outside of like all the bugs and everything. Like when it works, that game's actually pretty good.
Yeah. And then he goes on to blame all the reports of server problems on a minority, a vocal minority.
Yeah, so.
Did he figure out who to blame for the fact that DICE is like, we're not going to make any other games until we fix this shit?
Well, that wasn't even DICE. Like, EA pulled them off of all DLC, all all other projects until Battlefield 4 was fixed. Like, that to me isn't a vocal minority going, hey, your game is broken. That's there has to be overwhelming evidence to have a company completely stop production on future product.
Yeah.
To get this one working.
Oh, it's moronic. It's so
moronic. I can't wait to read the book that comes out about what happened with that.
And this, the same thing with SimCity, where, I mean, I'm assuming that he's kind of trying to make that same thing as, like, a vocal minority was saying this
crap. Oh, he doesn't even mention SimCity. That's the funny part in his comments. He kind of ignores
it. He just ignores that. Because
SimCity's indefensible. Like, there's...
And they gave stuff... They were like, we're sorry, our game don't work. Here's two free games.
Yeah.
Like, your shit didn't work.
Well, no, and then... They claimed they couldn't fix what didn't work with being, like, the online mode stuff, and a month we're getting offline mode, right?
Yeah, they are pulling it out now. Now,
now it doesn't even matter. Yeah, like, I don't even care now.
I have not played SimCity in quite some time, and
I wanted to. I thought it sounded interesting, and then I heard about this stuff, and I was like, I am not touching this with a 10-foot pole.
It's less interesting than it sounds, because the way the game was designed was you needed to play with other people, or at least manage multiple cities.
Yeah.
Because,
which doesn't work, right. Which is really awkward. It just
because
not a good way to play.
You only have enough room or resources to do one thing specifically well. You can't do everything. Which doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't do all of my trash pickup, so I need to send that to Fozzie's town. He'll do my trash pickup for me, but in return, I will give him electricity. Like, no, I should be able to handle the electricity of my rather small city and all the trash pickup.
Yeah,
not to mention the fact that because they're connected over EA servers, occasionally I'll just stop and. Fozzie's city will be completely out of electricity.
Yep. Where's my... I ain't picking up your trash now. Giving it to you.
Oh my god.
I particularly like what the guy said about Titanfall, though. Because, which, it was a valid question. Like, hey, like, with Titanfall, like...
Why should we trust you?
Right. And... No, that. Respawn is a completely different company than EA.
Right. Yeah, so if we're fucked, you don't necessarily need to worry about them being fucked. Hopefully.
I mean, that's how I took that, but...
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like. It's like, alright, well, sure, we may not have an idea what they're doing, but they're so different that they may as well not even be associated with us.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that, like, a lot of the server stuff is relying on Microsoft for this, so if that game doesn't work, I don't know if it'll particularly be EA's fault.
Are they now? They're only who's running the PC server side stuff?
I'd assume Microsoft. Like, that's all part of what they've been saying, that the PC and Xbox One version are near identical.
Okay.
So I'd assume all that stuff is being done by Azure. Or Azure, or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Oh, the 360 version, right?
Well, the 360 version is a completely different version. The Xbox One and PC version, though, are all being handled on Microsoft's cloud servers.
Okay.
The Azure network, or whatever.
So. Oh, I see. I thought that was the name of the company that was doing that.
No. I don't know who's doing the port of the 360 version, so...
Now, when you say completely different version, define that for me.
Completely different, like, as in PC and Xbox One versus 360?
Yeah.
So, Respawn hasn't had any actual...
They haven't worked on it at all.
It's not their game.
Okay, well, no, that I knew, but I have yet to really hear about why...
They haven't... Basically, all the footage you've seen... All the interviews, they've all been for the Xbox One and PC versions. Like, you haven't really heard anything about that 360 version.
And I'm surprised it's coming out, because it almost feels like they don't want it to come out. because they want everyone to buy the Xbox One version.
That, to me, like, that's so weird that Microsoft's even, like...
Like,
yeah, like, let's throw that on the 360, because who's buying it there?
Yeah. And what purpose does that serve if your goal is to get everyone on your new console?
Right, like, we're gonna have this same game, this big game that everybody's talking about, we're gonna have it on 360, and then what if the 360 version sucks? Like, what if it just does not work right, and people buy it on the 360, well, this wasn't any good. I don't know what people are all up in arms about, because this game sucks. I'm not buying an Xbox One now.
Yeah, that's
sketchy.
It's, well, especially since it's not, you know, like with Call of Duty, it makes sense because they want to get the bang for their buck and things like that. But Microsoft is essentially paying for this game to appear only on their console, so it makes sense that they would control where it went. But
and with Ghosts, at least, Battlefield's a little bit different, but with Ghosts, that game is exactly the same, it just looks a little bit better on Xbox One. Like, it is the same game, Call of Duty Ghosts, on both 360 and Xbox One. Battlefield, obviously, the maps are a little bit bigger and they add more people in, but I don't know what Titanfall on 360 is. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so weird. Like, that's just as weird as if like Dead Rising had appeared on 360 as well as Xbox One.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? You're just gonna split your audience when your goal is to sell the new console. Or if like Infamous were coming out on PS3 and PS4.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty much all he said, right, Tony?
Yeah, it was... I don't know. It was short. I have to say, he didn't talk for very long.
Yeah, they kind of ushered him away after...
after they overheard what he was saying. Oh, God, he's saying stupid things.
I think he probably got saved by someone. They're like, oh, my God, you've been drinking. Let's take you away.
Please stop talking. Please stop talking.
Because to be fair, I mean, the stuff that he said was completely different from anything else that EA's other executives have said.
Right.
They've all been very apologetic. They're like, our bad. We're trying to make it good. Look what we're doing. This guy's just like, oh, we're fine. We're good.
The only other thing that I kind of saw standing out there news-wise was evidently one of the updates that is coming to the Xbox One will include a update to the controller. Which will improve, I guess, some responsiveness. Respawn did not like particularly how twitchy it was, how twitchy the Xbox One controller was, so they
really
worked with Microsoft to make it, I guess, a little bit tighter. I guess that's all going to be done by a firmware update? I don't know.
I didn't even notice, like, there's this awful problem. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I assume that it definitely comes from people that are way more in tune with, you know, how their game should feel. And it could even come down, I mean, they know how, like, a shooter should feel on it. They've been making shooters for quite some time. I didn't feel anything weird about it, so... Maybe it'll improve some accuracy, though. Maybe I won't just overshoot people in Battlefield anymore.
I think normally that's because I suck.
Yeah, that's what I associate it with. But I like that Respawn has given me a reason to say, damn, I can't wait until that controller fix comes.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. That 7-14 match wasn't me.
I went 6-15 right before we started. So
I had a 5-0 match.
You did, yeah.
We were only there for like 3 minutes. Probably longer than that.
It wasn't very long, though, because we jumped in at the end of that match.
Yeah. It's dominating, and then it ended. This is the first time I'd ever played on that map, too. I'm like, oh, this map is great. I love this map.
Well, was that the one with the weird train in the middle?
Yes, that was the one with the train.
That was so strange. Weird one mobile capture point moving along. Peter, you have any, are you getting a PS4 or an Xbox One at any point?
I want a PS4. I actually had one pre-ordered for a while, and then I crashed my car. So all that money had to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I do want one eventually, because I do want to get Infamous, and things like that. I want to play Metal Gear, and I want to play, well, I was going to say Dark Souls, but Dark Souls is actually on the PS3, so...
Yeah, you'll be able to play that.
I may end up skipping that game because it's on the old generation.
If
it was on Xbox One, I would totally get it, but since it's not...
I'm with you on that, Tony.
Yeah.
I actually would like to play it on PC, but I'm not going to shell out an additional $60 for a 360 controller that I can plug into my computer, so I'll just pay the $60 once to play it on my PlayStation. But yeah, no, I'll get a PS4 at some point, and I'll get a Wii U whenever, I don't know, Smash Brothers manages to crawl out from under the rock. It's still being
November.
Hidden under.
My guess is November.
Well, you know, I feel like, have you guys saved this podcast for another day? You have more news, because that's when Nintendo's supposed to do their first Direct of the year.
Right.
And maybe we'd get something out of that.
I think they've kind of pointed, though, that Smash is their later game, because Mario Kart's coming in May, so...
But will that mean anything to anyone at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to Mario Kart, but I own a Wii U, so...
Do you ever look at it and wonder why?
less often than I do my PS4 right now, but...
Fair enough. What do you... Why is that, out of curiosity? Why do you... Like, what about the Wii U do you look at and be like, alright, I can justify this in my mind compared to the PS4?
Well, I have 10 games for my Wii U, so...
Oh, wow. Is that all of them?
I don't know if it's all of them. it's a good amount, though. Like, but I could justify it with Mario by itself. Like, for me, like, that's why I bought that, is a Mario machine. And I have two very good Mario games on it. My PS4... It's a really cool piece of hardware, and I know it's going to have great games at some point. They're just not there yet.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, my PS4, kind of like, I turn it on once a month to download the free PS Plus game, or at least get credit for downloading it, so I can download it later, and then shut it back off. Like, cause, I mean, I already own Don't Starve, and I already own Outlast, so I played those games already. And there's nothing new coming until Infamous.
Yeah, it'd be, unfortunately, it seems like both Titanfall and Infamous are sort of like this weird bump in the road of nothingness, because I don't...
Yeah, you're just, right.
We have Thief coming in March?
Thief comes
2 weeks from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited. I want Thief so bad.
I'm not sure what to think of that yet. I might wait on opinions.
I'll be there day one. I'll have an opinion.
Is it not like Dishonored? Because that would be cool.
It's got more of a...
Thief.
I mean...
Is it more like Deus Ex Human Revolution?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll right. be more...
That's what I want to hear.
I mean, it's designed by the same guys who made it. Made
okay.
Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Okay.
Did you guys play any of the previous Thief games?
A long time ago.
No, I did not.
I played the original Thief and loved it. Yeah. Though I'm not a big fan of stealth games, but that game was really cool for its time. I hope they translate that. Like,
well, this is a remake of that first game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
So. All
right. Huh.
Translated for a modern age.
Thief is 2 weeks, and Garden Warfare, I think it's the same day, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is that a retail game? What is that? Like, have they said?
I don't know. I really don't know.
That game needs to be like a $20 downloadable game.
You could pre-order it.
Wait, Thief has to be $20?
No. Thief, I know, is a 60. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. That needs to be a cheap game.
Oh.
Because it's multiplayer only. It's basically like Horde mode Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
Like they can't be thinking we're going to charge $60 for this.
Or it might be free to play. Which has been what they did with Plants vs. Zombies 2, so.
Right. Which I need to go back and play some of Plants vs. Zombies 2, because I heard a weird rumor.
About the lawnmowers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I played a level today, but I didn't lose any lawnmowers, so I didn't see anything about it. Yeah. I don't know if I should just do it on purpose and see what happens, but...
Tony, did you hear about that?
No.
Supposedly they... now, if you lose a lawnmower, you can buy it back for money. but it also, once you lose it, it stays lost.
Until you buy it.
Like, not just on that level, on all levels.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you make one mistake one time and you're, like...
You're fucked.
Forever.
Yep.
Until you decide to give them, like, and if that's the case, I will not play that game anymore.
Yeah, seriously. That's...
Which is a shame, because it's really good. It's a really good Plants vs. Zombie game. I'll just wait till that comes out on Xbox One or Xbox 360 or PS4, because it will. It's coming there. And I don't think it'll be free to play when it comes to those. Who knows? Maybe it will. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that's all of our stuff. Pete, you have anything you want to kind of, like, promote?
No.
No.
I have Twitter. That's it. It's Peter_Freeman. That's it.
Follow
do we not do reader mail or anything?
I don't think we have any. Normally Jeff and Fozzie do that.
Okay.
If we're not here, damn you guys, it's your fault.
Yeah, I'm really bad with that. Like.
Okay. Did any of us see the Lego movie?
I did.
Because I do want to talk about the Lego movie.
You want to talk about the Lego movie?
Yeah.
Tony, are you going to see the Lego movie?
I am going to see the Lego movie.
It's so good. You need to go see it. Like, I walked out of that movie feeling like it was on a Toy Story level of awesomeness.
I compare it to Toy Story in my review.
I heard that it's one of those movies where everybody stands up at the end and claps.
And then they're really depressed because they realize they're not 10 years old anymore. But it's the best kind of feeling because, like, it was one of those movies where you go in and you're like, okay, well, the trailer looked kind of cool. Batman's kind of funny. Whatever. I'm here with a bunch of popcorn.
Batman's really, really funny.
He is. Like, I was surprised how many times I actually laughed during that movie. But it's also just sort of like a really happy movie in a really kind of cheesy way.
Happy.
I think his name is Benny. He's the little astronaut.
Yes.
Played by Charlie Day. Oh my god, he's so good.
Oh, that's and who does him. Okay.
I totally had that Lego set as a kid.
The spaceship that he built?
Well, I didn't have that, but I had like him. Like I had the little blue guy, and like I had
1980 something spaceship man.
I had the monorail, the space monorail, which was awesome. It was so huge. Oh, that was... it's so good. Yeah, there's a ton of great cameos in that.
I love the Superman, Green Lantern.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much of it for Tony.
No, but just like they have only two scenes together.
Their banter is great.
They're hysterical. Channing Tatum did Superman.
And Jonah Hill did Green Lantern.
And it is...
Yeah, the voice cast is crazy. Like, I mean, like, everyone kind of knows that Morgan Freeman's in it and Liam Neeson's in it, but...
Liam Neeson Farrell. Also really good in that movie, yeah. Like, unsuspectingly so. The role he plays I thought he was a cameo role, but he's so much more than that.
Yeah, because they kind of just throw him in, and with Liam Neeson, like, he's only going to be in, like, a couple scenes, but he's actually, like, in it a lot.
Yeah, he's the, like... the main henchman of the bad guy. So
it's just like as you watch the film, like you just kind of get this like, and that I remember doing stuff like this as a kid.
Yeah, and there's that part where you sort of see all of the different Lego areas, and I'm just like, I want that.
Yeah, you run through like there's like the Old West ones and like the castle versions, and then there's like the ones that have no rules. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like so good. Like, and like Emmett, who's from like the Lego City area, he's like, what is going on here? It's so crazy.
I don't like this place. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
I think you'll really like it, Tony. You taking your son to it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's a good time.
It's worth it, absolutely. My sister didn't like it. That's because she doesn't have a heart. But
wow, really?
Like everyone else I've talked to loved it. And even my parents thought it was cute and stuff because they went with us. And for a movie that just seemed like a cash out, it wound up being so much more than that, like in a weird way.
There's one, I mean, like, and this property very much tied to Lego, but I'm not going to spoil it for Tony, but, like, very much tied to Lego over the past, like, 15 years or so. But when that comes in, it just shows how much they kind of devoted to this, because they don't own, Warner Brothers does not own the rights to that at all, so they had to kind of go out and negotiate to get that into the film, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a great, great scene. It's very brief, but...
Are we talking about right at the... Does it involve Batman?
Yeah, Batman's in it, yeah.
Okay, it's right at the end of the pirate ship stuff?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I know what you're talking about then. That scene was pretty fantastic. Yeah. And Batman was phenomenal, like... The great thing about the movie was that all the licensed characters, aside from Batman, are kind of just glorified cameos.
Right. Like, Batman's an actual character in the film. Like, he actually has a role to play.
I wondered about that. Sound.
Yeah, it's not... Batman's not just there to, like... I mean, he is just there to make quips and be funny, but he actually is, like, he's one of the main characters in the film, so...
Yeah.
And his appearance is so good.
<It's>, I'm an artist.
Right. You're gonna love it, Tony. It's so good.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite movies of this year so far. And actually I think this is the first movie I saw this year.
Yeah, that's the first one I saw.
Oh god.
It's been a bad year so far.
Yeah. I think Captain America is the next one I'm seeing, and that's not until April.
I'm going to go see RoboCop. I'm probably going to...
Are you sure?
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to see it. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to enjoy it, but...
Bring some tissues as you cry about what they've done to your past.
Oh, boy. I mean, I read IGN's review, and I just looked at it, and I was like, I'm not surprised that any of this is as terrible. They didn't like it. They basically... For what it sounded like, they tried to not basically just do RoboCop again and take different angles on it, but in doing so, wound up kind of becoming the thing that RoboCop was sort of not railing against, but what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the satire of the original.
Yeah. That's a shame, because that original movie is so good. And yeah. really, if they had just remade that movie, it probably would have been all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. It depends on how much snow we get and how bad it is, whether I decide to go out this weekend and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. You follow Peter on Twitter, as he said.
Yay!
Me and Tony as well. The site, there's stuff going up. I think there's a bunch of reviews waiting to go up, so they should be up probably by Friday, and we'll have some more stuff next week. Yeah, and at some point, we're actually going to have games coming out, so
that'll be nice.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I still won't believe it until I see it. I still think we're not going to get anything. It's going to be a drought until like E3. And until then, we're going to have just a million different versions of Resident Evil 4 appearing on Steam.
Wow. That would be like my personal hell.
That is a nightmare. Like, I'm just going to play Titanfall from like March until E3. I play it for 3 months straight. And then
that sounds really satisfying, actually. So
there are strategy games coming out. I'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be all right. And I hear Watch Dogs... between April and June.
Apparently, that quarter.
That's going to be a mess.
Oh, I'm not looking. Like, having heard that release date, now I'm less excited.
Right.
Like, if they thought it was going to be big, they'd release in the fall.
I heard people going like, oh, maybe they'll release it in May, and then they can kind of piggyback off. If it's really good, they can piggyback off of that at E3. I have a feeling it's coming E3 week.
No.
They're just going to bury it?
Yeah, it's that game.
Oh, no. Which is funny, because that was the game that everyone was talking about back then.
And it's not to say that it'll be a bad game, because like Infamous 2 came out that same week, but it's going to be a game where they're not super confident in it, so they don't want the press to get their hands on it.
That was a good thing to do with it, with Infamous 2, but...
I wasn't a huge fan of Infamous 2, but...
Me neither.
People liked it, though.
I don't know
I thought that game was fine, and then I realized that I played halfway through it and then stopped, never felt the desire to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go. Must not have been that good.
Nope.
Oh, well. Alright, we will be back next week. Jeff will be back with tales of his date that he had tonight.
Oh.
With a girl
is that where
drink.
He is?
Yeah, he has a date with a girl that doesn't drink.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Does she smoke? She probably doesn't smoke either.
Probably not. She wants to be a substance abuse counselor, and evidently the first time...
Perfect girl for Jeff.
The first time Jeff went out with her, he was high. So
this is a match made in hell.
Yeah. So I can't wait to hear the story of this one. Cause
oh, my God.
Be good. And evidently, there's nothing to do in DeKalb, Illinois, except drink, so I don't know why this girl's living there.
She's been waiting for Jeff for her whole life.
She's, I mean, if she wants to practice fixing somebody, Jeff is a good one to start with. I don't know. And Fozzie hopefully won't be working next week, so... and we might have Don on as well, because he needs to come on and tell us about Final Fantasy, whatever that title, whatever that game is.
Lightning's Return, Final Fantasy XIII.
Right, yeah. That's it, yeah. Jesus Christ. Final Fantasy XIII 3.
The game that Don will play, but none of the rest of us.
No.
I was so mean to him when it came out, because I was like sending him the review scores as they came out. Look, Don, another stellar review, 5 out of 10.
It makes... It hurts my head that he is so excited for it, because it shows up on our power rankings for the last 2 months, because he's put it at number one, and that's just enough points to fit it in at the bottom of our list.
I'm like, I should move one of my games at the top, just to...
anything to kick it out. Well, we'll see. Hopefully he likes it, because I don't think the rest of us care.
It's pretty lukewarm from what I've heard, which sucks, because I like the costume stuff they were doing. I don't know, I like to dress people up in games for some reason. But I heard The combat is fun, but there's no point to do it.
Great.
You don't earn experience or gain levels through combat, only through quests. So you start to wonder after a couple hours why you're bothering to fight anything.
Why you're fighting, great.
And I heard the story ends in a way that makes no sense, which I suppose is the perfect way to end the Final Fantasy XIII trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sad for Don, though, because he's really been into that. I don't get it. But, yeah, that's it. We'll be back next week. Jeff and Fozzie aren't here, so... I guess, Tony, you say goodbye.
Good.